We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and our second half of the program begins now as we welcome into the studio Dr. Marjorie Artzer, Assistant Clinical Professor, Small Animal Dentistry at the Kansas State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you. I know we've spoken in the past, but nice to see you here in studio.
Nice to see you again. It's good to be back.
You bet. We're going to be talking here today about, obviously, you work in dentistry, so oral health for your dogs and cats.
Yes. So oral problems are really common for our pet population, and most owners are unaware that any of this is happening in their dog or cat's mouth. Most of the time, the pets don't show us that they're having a problem, that they're eating normally and going outside to go to the bathroom and enjoying their playtime and wanting some pets on the couch. So you might not be aware that there's a problem going on in there until you take them into your veterinarian. And so part of a good annual exam is to have them have their mouths evaluated. And things that your veterinarian are going to be looking for are, do they have all their teeth? Because sometimes missing teeth can be found, and both dogs and cats, and if they are missing crowns in their mouth, they may be because they didn't come with them, or the tooth was broken off and there's roots under the gum line. Or maybe they had one there and it fell out at some time or was previously extracted. And then there's going to be a group of patients that the tooth never erupts, that it's sitting under the gum line. And sometimes those can be problematic for them. So on a good oral exam, your veterinarian's going to count their teeth to see if they're all there or not. They're going to also be evaluating for things like if they've broken a tooth. This is really common for our dogs and cats. They use their teeth a little bit differently than we do for all sorts of things, not just for eating and chewing, but playing and grooming. And their idea of playing can be quite vigorous. So breaking their teeth, unfortunately, can be pretty regular occurrence. Sometimes the tip of the tooth is broken and it's not apparent that the inside of the tooth is exposed. Occasionally, those teeth really are, they can be devitalized or dead and be painful and causing problems that you can't see. Sometimes that happens even if the tooth isn't broken but has been traumatized. So if you look in your pet's mouth and you see a tooth that's kind of pink or purpley color or gray or maybe even kind of a creamy brown color. Sometimes that's indicative that the tooth has been injured and potentially not vital anymore. And then unfortunately, they break their teeth where the center of the tooth is exposed pretty regularly. The most common teeth to be broken in dogs are their canines or their fang teeth, and then the big chewing teeth in the back. And so you might not be able to recognize that by looking in your pet's mouth, but when they come for an exam, that's what we're looking for, to make sure that the teeth crowns are all normal. When they break a tooth and the pulp on the inside of the tooth is exposed, this can be very painful for your pet, just like you or I. But they rarely show signs that this has occurred. So it's oftentimes a surprise to owners when they bring their pet in and I tell them that they have a broken tooth.
That's surprising because anyone who's dealt with oral pain, I've had some before. It is not a good feeling. And
no.
You can usually tell when somebody's got an issue like that, mm-hmm. because if you're in constipation, you just want to lay down or have an ice pack on you or something,
yeah.
but it must be tough for animals.
well, they oftentimes can't express the discomfort that they're feeling. And sometimes it's a slow onset for them too, where they may have some mild changes to how they eat, or they may have some mild behavior changes that you might not recognize. I think it's pretty common for owners to say after we've treated these teeth that, oh, they just feel so much better. I didn't realize they were having a problem. Oh, they seem so much younger. Some of those problems, some of those comments that they just seem to have more energy because we've addressed that discomfort for them.
I know sometimes in people, if you're having a teeth problem, you might not eat certain foods. Do you ever see that with animals?
I think the desire to eat is great. So oftentimes they still eat their regular food, but they may change how they do it. So they may chew only on one side, or they may pick their food up and drop it and go at it again. Maybe they don't chew their food. Sometimes we see some animals that stop chewing and just start swallowing their food whole. They may come and go from the bowl, so they may go over and chew a little while and then be like, ugh, got to leave for a little bit and then come back and finish it. So if you're seeing a change in their eating behavior but still seem to have a good appetite, then we should be looking in their mouths.
Okay. And, you know, I know that it's tough to get on a plan here for if you don't know that it's going on here. You probably want to start some sort of a regimen here of cleaning your animals' teeth annually or monthly or weekly.
Sure. So the first step is to come in and have a good oral exam, part of their annual exam, and then your veterinarian's going to make some recommendations for best way to care for their teeth. Usually we're going to they're going to need some care to remove daily plaque to try to prevent periodontal disease, because that too is really common. About 80% of dogs and cats will have some degree, whether it's gingivitis or something more severe, of periodontal disease by fairly early age. So just like you were suggesting, they may need an anesthetized oral exam and their teeth cleaned. Part of that exam is going to be to take a probe, just like when you go to the dentist and they'll probe around their teeth looking for attachment loss or if the tooth is moving, evaluating it for fractures, those kind of things. And then they should also be taking dental radiographs or x-rays of their teeth. Since about 40% of the picture is the crown and 60% is the root, the x-rays are able to give us a lot more information about what's going on under the gum line in regards to the root and the supporting bone and soft tissue structures that support the teeth.
Well, dogs and cats rely on their teeth quite a bit, mm-hmm. just like we do. I wonder, what's the difference between the animals? I know the cat's teeth and dog's teeth are a little different.
They're shaped a little different. That's true. But care for them is very similar to care for our teeth in that to prevent periodontal disease, toothbrushing is the most effective, just like for you or I. And basically what that's doing is removing the day's plaque or bacteria that's building up on the teeth that instigates the chronic infection and inflammation for periodontal disease. And we can go about doing this in a variety of ways. Toothbrushing's been shown to be the most effective, and your veterinarian is a good resource to help you get started with what products to choose and how to start a toothbrushing regimen. If you can do it every day, that's fantastic. If you can do it every other day, that's great. If you only get it done once a week, well, then great. And then we'll encourage you to do it more frequently once you got it down. You want to avoid people toothpaste, so stick with just plain water or toothpaste for pets.
And it's difficult, I'm sure, to get them comfortable with that. How do you... especially cats, I imagine, that would be really difficult to get in their mouths.
Yeah, so I think a good goal is to give yourself a whole month before you feel like it's going successful. So it's a slow acclimation. And mostly what we're going to do is we're going to combine it with something that they enjoy. So maybe they want a special treat, or they like to play with their ball, or they like petted. So go slow and start by just handling their face and rewarding them for being able to handle their face. And then maybe take a thin washcloth and wipe the front of their teeth out front and rewarding them with that. And then gradually work your way up to a toothbrush over several weeks' time. If your pet really enjoys certain food, is very food motivated, that is a great way to get them to participate. But just like you said, some pets are very reluctant for this, or it may be difficult for owners to do. And some other options, there are food that is designed to actually help clean the teeth. And so they're a specially designed biscuit, and the animal has to chew the food. It's nutritionally complete for adults, and so and usually tastes pretty well. And as they chew the food, the teeth sink into that biscuit a little farther, and then as it breaks apart, it helps to scrub the teeth. So that's a really nice way to be doing some plaque removal just by feeding them.
Well, flossing, is that something owners should be doing too regularly?
Flossing is is something that we should be doing all the time for ourselves. It's very difficult to do for pets. That I think most of the time owners, if they can brush, then we've made the biggest success.
Okay. Yeah, difficult task there.
Difficult.
We're talking with Dr. Marjorie Artzer here with the Kansas State University College of Veterinary Medicine. We'll take a break and talk about some more things here with your pet's oral health in a few minutes. You're listening to News Radio KMAN's In Focus.